Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And we've got a number of news stories that I've wanted to catch up on. And also to let you know about the telethon. We're doing well. We're 50% of the way toward our goal. So that's exciting. And Indiana has now passed Colorado as the state giving the most to keep Bob Inyart live on the radio in Colorado. So that's, we got some pretty hardcore supporters in Indiana, I'll tell you that. But we've got a dozen, 13 states now supporting Bob Inyart Live to help us stay on the air here. So I'll tell you about that, and I'll tell you how much ahead Indiana is in the telethon in just a little bit. But first, let's see, what are we going to do in the news? Down in Florida, they got Pinellas County, the Sheriff's Department. This is tremendous. There's not often that a sheriff's department changes their policy and I get excited about it because everything trends toward immorality. Well, this is exciting. They are going to suspend any sheriff deputy who's caught cheating on his wife or committing adultery with another man's wife. That's extraordinary. Praise the Lord for that. That, Lord, thank you so much. That's exciting. There's a glimmer of hope. Okay, so we'll get to that story. And then also in Wichita, Kansas, you know, the federal judge there was supposed to issue his ruling. A friend of Bob Inyart Live, the Kansas Attorney General, Phil Klein, is trying to get the abortion clinics to keep the mandatory reporting law when underage girls 15 years and younger, are pregnant. Then that's a violation of state law. He's trying to enforce those laws, and the federal judge actually was arguing that, well, there's no clear evidence that underage sex is harmful. And so the judge, he was supposed to rule this past week, and it's been put off. His docket is full. Of course his docket is full. We have a country full of kids having sex who become messed up by the time they're 18, and a bunch of them become criminals. So he doesn't understand why there's crime everywhere around him. It's because he's part of the problem. That's why. For a judge who doesn't know that underage sex is harmful, oh, what a mess we're in. We're in a mess. So a glimmer of hope in Florida while Kansas is going to hell in a handbasket. Okay, and then we also have the lieutenant governor of Maryland who said something really good. Now, we cover this all the time at Bob Inyart Live. Some conservative leader, Christian leader, says something really good, and then they apologize for it. And it's almost as though they have it on in their day timer. It says Monday morning, issue press release. Wednesday afternoon, issue apology. It's just they plan it every week. So we'll get to that. And then this letter to the Rocky Mountain News, and this was neat, about exploiting humans and animals. And it's by Pete Martinez of Denver. And he writes that this is the conclusion of his letter. He writes, a talk show host once said, most animal rights activists, including people for the ethical treatment of animals, don't love animals, they hate people. They don't love animals, they hate. That is brilliant. That's just brilliant. Whoever said that should be given a raise. Oh, wait a minute. Sounds familiar. Most animal rights activists don't love animals, they hate people. That's true. That's what motivates them. Yeah, I remember a debate with who's that rock and roll guy, absolute nut, and he's a bow hunter, and he's against animal rights guys, Ted Nugent. And Ted Nugent was debating an animal rights gal about elephants in Africa. And he pointed out that the countries that allow elephant hunts, they get so much revenue from the elephant hunting that they're able to take care of their elephant population. And the herds in those countries are thriving. And the countries that don't allow elephant hunting, there's no revenue to manage their herds, and they're dying out. And this animal rights activist woman, she said, I don't care if the last elephant in Africa dies as long as you're not able to hunt one. And that was it. Victory. You see, the side that wins the debate, and not everybody will always agree that they won the debate, but there comes a point in a debate when the debate is won or lost, and that was it. She lost right at that point. Animal rights advocates, many of them, it's not that they love animals, it's that they hate people. Personally, me, as a conservative Christian with a healthy worldview, I love animals. They're delicious. And also animals, of course, they have a right. They have rights. They do have rights. They have a right to be hunted, killed, cooked, and eaten. And if you're worried about turkeys, you know, turkeys, if it wasn't for carnivores, millions of turkeys would have never even seen the light of day. They wouldn't have ever had taken a breath. They would have never seen the sunrise. They would never have eaten kernels of corn. And, hey, turkeys enjoy all that stuff. A nice drink after a good meal. Turkeys enjoy that. And if it were for vegetarians, hundreds of millions of turkeys would have never lived to enjoy one meal. So we're the ones that give turkeys their first meal, every meal, their last meal. The vegetarians, they don't care if they're just turkeys go into utter oblivion. So anyway, and there's nothing greater that an animal could aspire to than to be eaten by a human being. That's the ultimate for any animal. So remember that. And whenever there's an animal rights story in the news at Bob and Yurt Live, what has it been for 15 years now? We ask our audience members, whenever you see an animal rights story in the news, that day, eat an extra animal. Eat one more animal than you normally would. Okay, so Pete Martinez. Pete, thanks. He doesn't mention what show he heard this on. And, of course, the editors at the Rocky Mountain News might have cut it out anyway. A talk show host once said, most animal rights activists don't love animals, they hate people. Okay, thank you, Pete. Our phone number here, 800-8-N-YART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now, in Kansas, this federal judge, J. Thomas Martin, he's hearing this case with the Kansas state attorney, the attorney general there, Phil Klein, who's pro-life, and he's trying to go after the abortion clinics because they don't report. They got a mandatory reporting law when the age of consent for sex is 16, and they got 15-year-old girls, 14, 13, 12-year-old girls sometimes having abortions. And so they should be reporting those as child sexual abuse, at a minimum statutory rape, and possibly incest or some other kind of rape. But the abortion clinics never report. And if the girl says that I was impregnated by a 22-year-old guy, abortion clinics all over the country systematically say, don't tell us that. We don't want to know. Don't tell anyone that. And they abort the girl and get rid of the evidence of the sexual abuse. And they help the rapist, or they help the stepfather or the uncle who's committing incest. They help the guy cover up the crime. Why do they do that? Because they care about children. That's why. Okay, so anyway, this judge, here's an Associated Press report, and this judge is sort of berating Phil Klein's side of this case, and he's saying, Judge Thomas Martin, he says, look, he says, motives are irrelevant. I want to deal with facts. Where is the clear, credible evidence that underage sex is always injurious? If you tell me because it's illegal, I reject that. Where is the evidence? So he wants to know. So he's a federal judge. And that's what we're up against. We're up against judges who don't know right from wrong. God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And once the Christian community stopped arguing that sex should only be legal within marriage, because we stopped arguing that. We don't argue that any longer. We don't argue that any longer as though there has been a gag rule put on every major Christian ministry in the country. We simply don't argue that any longer. And so it's really up for grabs. And we come up with political arguments, temporary tactical arguments for each and every battle, instead of the one battle that God wanted us to fight, which is sex is only legal within marriage, but we no longer, in fact, our Christian ministries don't really believe that any longer. They think you have a First Amendment right to create pornography, and it's only obscenity or child pornography that they ask the government to stop. But pornography itself, they think it's your First Amendment right. Okay, our phone number, 800-8-N-YARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. So then we have the lieutenant governor in Maryland, Michael Steele, and he was speaking to Jewish leaders about stem cell research, and you could sense it, right? You know what's coming? I'm sure you could sense it. They have in their daytimer, Monday morning, issue press release. Wednesday afternoon, issue apology, right? They get that from Jerry Falwell, all these guys. They all do it. They say something right, and then they apologize. So this is what he said. He said, look, you of all folks, he's speaking to Jewish leaders, you of all folks know what happens when people decide they want to experiment on human beings. That's true, right? Jews were slaughtered by the Germans, by Germany, and then they had German scientists who were experimenting on human beings because they dehumanized the Jews and they acted as though Jews were not human. Same thing with black slavery. People acted as though blacks were not human. And so with abortion and killing unborn children, we act as though a brand new little human being brought into existence is not human. It's just property. You can do whatever you want with it. Like Senator Orrin Hatch from Utah. He got angry at pro-lifers who said, we have to oppose killing these fertilized eggs, these zygotes. They're fertilized for in vitro fertilization. And then some of them are simply thrown out or discarded. They're frozen and then they're not usable. And so they throw them out. And he was criticizing us, pro-lifers, as though we're fools. And, you know, the reason that it's wrong to kill a human being is not because of what the human being could do, but because of who the human being is. And that we're made in God's image, and you don't dispose of human beings. It doesn't matter how small they are. And he was mocking us because these are just fertilized eggs in a freezer. He was mocking us as though it matters what kind of an appliance you use to kill people. You know, put them in an oven, put them in a freezer, put them in a trash compactor. None of that matters. You don't kill human beings. So anyway, this guy said, you of all people, you know what happens when people decide they want to experiment on human beings. That was Maryland Lieutenant Governor Michael Steele. And then he apologized for the comparison to Nazi experiments. And that's worse than if he had never said anything to start with. Because now he's saying when we kill unborn babies, that's not the same as killing Jews. But the problem is a lot of Jewish unborn babies are killed because Jews kill a lot of their children, as do Italians and Germans and Russians and blacks. And so, and in Israel, abortion is legal. Now, I don't know the latest how they changed their law, but some years ago we were there, and the law was you needed two doctors to sign that you can have an abortion, and then you could get the abortion. And that was so startling because in Germany, you needed two doctors to sign that you could kill a handicapped person, and then you could kill the handicapped person. So I thought, wow. People really don't learn anything from history, do they? And no, they don't. Okay. So anyway, Lieutenant Governor Michael Steele, Maryland, look, thanks, but no thanks. You blew it for us. It would have been better if you had never run for office. You don't have the moral qualifications to be a leader if you don't have the courage to say killing an innocent child is as bad as killing any other innocent person. So, but that's the mess we're in. So many of our leaders are into situational morality. You know, situational ethics? Conservative Christians, fundamentalists, for decades, they were against situational ethics. And then moral relativism came in. And our conservative Christian leaders, they were against moral relativism. But now they bought into it. Now they're ethical relativists. It's like in between the other two. They're ethical relativists. And hey, it depends on the circumstance. And if you're going to set aside and compromise on do not murder, well, if you're a conservative Republican, you're going to do it. We'll probably approve of you because you have a political goal in mind, or you're following a process. So since you're following a process and you're going to murder the innocent, we're going to approve of you if you're a conservative Republican. So that's how messed up we are. But in Pinellas County, Florida, there's hope because the sheriff down there has said that he's seen so many cases of deputies involved in adultery. Not only that, of course that's true. It's true all over the country. And, you know, there's a problem when you're a police officer and you're supposed to enforce the law, then that gets especially difficult when the law itself is immoral. Because police officers are called upon to do things that are immoral, that are wrong. You're a lawyer and you take an oath to the court and to the process, and the process is inherently immoral. And so then you find yourself that if you're going to get paid this week, you have to compromise on right and wrong. It's very difficult. So we've told our children that if they become lawyers, we would disown them. I mean, we see no way around it. I mean, it's possible to be a Christian lawyer and not sin against God in your practice, but don't expect to make any money. I mean, it's going to be pretty difficult. Because if you are upholding the law and the law is immoral, then you are not justified for doing so. So you got to be super careful. You got to be brilliant. You have to be brilliant and wise to be a Christian lawyer or a Christian police officer or a Christian teacher, because in all those areas, you are working in a godless, immoral system. By the way, our phone number, 800-8-NYART, that's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. So that's exciting. So sheriff's deputies who get caught cheating on their spouses or having an affair with another person's spouse will be suspended from work for the behavior. So that's pretty neat. That is neat, right? In Colorado, it's against the law to commit adultery. If you look up Colorado Revised Statutes, just go online, search for adultery. You'll see it there. But it's been effectively gutted because they took away the punishment. So our state legislature a while back, they left adultery on the books because it would have been too politically incorrect at the time they did their dirty deed. It would have been too hard for them to just strike down adultery. So they didn't do that, and they didn't get the news headlines of doing that. They just took away the criminal penalty. All right? So our number, 800-8-NYART, that's 1-800-836-9278. Now, in our telethon, we're going for $10,000. That's our goal, to help Bob and Your Live stay on the air another year. And here's where we're at. We're at $5,075, so 50% of the way, and we have 8 days to go. So we got about a third of the month left, and we're at $5,000, so we're at 50%. So this last third of the month, we really need your help, if you could help. And Indiana has pulled ahead of Colorado. Colorado had been ahead the last couple weeks, almost 3 weeks. And now, you know, Colorado was just ahead by a little bit, by about $100. Then Indiana pulled ahead by $15 2 days ago, up to $1,450. And so Colorado pulled ahead, and then Indiana just got another $100 donation. So now it's Indiana, $1,550, and Colorado, $1,535. So Indiana is still $15 ahead of Colorado, and in third place is California with $500. and then about 10 other states. Isn't it neat? People in 10 different states are helping to keep Bob Inert Live on the air here in this state. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Colorado Springs. Kathy, welcome to Bob Inert Live.
Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
I just come in, so I just tuned in and heard that what the discussion was regarding police officers.
Yes.
I'm from a family of law enforcement. I myself was a chief of police, police officer.
Wow.
Eventually went with the Federal Marshal Service. And my children, most of my sons are in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really saw it as a ministry.
I think you're exactly right, Kathy. It should be a ministry.
Yes.
Because God says that the government is to be God's minister for good, and the law should be righteous so that it points to a righteous God.
Yes, and, you know, I know that there's bad police officers and there's good, and I felt, you know, if I wasn't doing it, it could be a bad one that was. But I always prayed on every call I went. I always prayed and entrusted it to God, and boy, how it empowered me. I mean, it was just, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And
Amen.
I truly saw it as a ministry.
Well, I agree with you, and it should be. But let me ask you a couple questions.
Yes.
Would you agree that if the law is bad, if you have a bad law, that those who enforce a bad law are doing the wrong thing?
Yes, and that would be very, very difficult if you were in law enforcement and it compromised your principles, because I personally wouldn't be able to do that.
Right. You have to know, you have to be an expert on right and wrong, because the law is especially twisted. And it is confusing, and it causes people to move and to do the wrong thing when they're obeying the law or just doing their job. So a Christian in law enforcement has to ask God, I think, every day for wisdom.
Oh, definitely.
Right. And, you know, if you're good, if you're good at what you do and you're likable and you're got a great work ethic, there's a lot of latitude in being a police officer.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah,
and
you could arrest people, not arrest them, based on a lot of your own personal authority. And so that's where police officers could honor God. But it's very, very difficult.
It is. And there's so many gray areas or loopholes. And one of my great difficulties was the way adults are favored over children in our judicial system. I mean, if you have something that the child's been sexually abused for, say, 5 years, and, you know, take them out of the home for a week. They put them back in the home, and we're supposed to just keep a closer watch on them. And the parents go into sexual therapy. Well, that would take a very long time for it to do any good, if it would ever.
Yeah, right.
And the children are second-class citizens. And if there's ever something that can give you big-time burnout, it's our judicial system and how it favors the adults. And
Kathy, I also noticed a horrendous pattern of inmates in jail, in county jail, state jail, and I know mostly about county jails, but the inmates are so vulgar and crude that the guards become vulgar and crude, because it's like the guards have a 10-year jail sentence. They're in jail longer than the inmates, and it rubs off.
Well, that's a logical thing. I mean, I could never work in corrections. There is no way.
It's very, very, very difficult.
It would be logical if you know, if I would go around, or anyone would go around a scenario where there's bad language all the time, or or whatever it might be.
Yeah,
it would have a tendency. I mean, first it would be shocking. Eventually, you'd build up immunity and probably be talking the same way,
Kathy,
and not even be aware.
Last question: Do you congratulate the Pinellas County Sheriff in Florida for telling his deputies, "Look, leave other men's wives alone. You stay faithful to your own wife, or you're out of here."
Of course, but the thing that hasn't been talked about much, you know, I'm talking, you know, a long time ago, it was up to the department to come up with their own moral code. And, you know, as myself, as chief of police did, but there was a morals code before I took over, too.
Yeah, it started like this: "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal." But Kathy, I got to go. But
okay.
Yeah, morality needs to be a part of a public service once again.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. All right. Now in Greeley, Colorado, Gil, welcome to Bob and Hart Live.
Yes, sir. I got a bit of news you might be interested in. There's a Christian lawyer. She was on a seminar down in Dallas.
Yeah.
Her name is Janet Carter. She takes cases only if the people are willing to take the advice the Bible and Jesus Christ gives.
Wow.
Otherwise, she kicks them out.
Janet
and she's
Carter.
On Wild Word Web at covitradio.com.
All
Janet
right.
Carter. I thought maybe you wanted to talk to her.
Gil, thank you. We'll look that up.
Thank you, sir.
I really appreciate that. You know, we've heard so many stories about Christian lawyers, and one of my favorites is a friend, Christian friend at a church. His wife fell away from the Lord. She started drinking, started sleeping around, and she's trying to take the kids away from the husband who stayed faithful at church. And so the church members say, well, go, it's a big, good Christian church. Go to this guy. He's a member of the church, and he's a great Christian lawyer. He'll help make sure your wife can't take your kids away. So early Monday morning, he goes in with another friend of mine. They both went in, and they're waiting in the waiting room for like 45 minutes. And who comes out of the meeting with the lawyer was the guy's wife, who's divorcing him, sleeping around, drunk and trying to take his kids away, and the Christian lawyer is representing her and ends up doing everything he could to take the kids away from this Christian guy. And that's my experience, that Christian lawyers typically will take either side, and they'll do everything they can to get a guilty criminal to be acquitted. And that's wrong. You got a rapist murderer and you try to get him acquitted and you know he's guilty. You are now guilty as an accomplice after the fact. You say it's your job to get him acquitted. If you get a known criminal, you know somebody's a criminal, and you get them acquitted, God considers you an accomplice after the fact, and you are now guilty of the rape. You're guilty of the murder. Hey, we're out of time. Bob and Hart Live. Help us out at KGov online at KGOV.com. Maranatha Christian Center, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out, Maranatha in Arvada at 72nd and Oak, and that's where Denver Bible Church meets. So come on out this Sunday morning or evening.